Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Srikant Krishna Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18 and Verse 42. But before we dive into this nectarine class, I would like to read a brief introduction about our today's speaker, His Grace Srikant Krishna Prabhuji. So His Grace Srikant Krishna Prabhuji, educational by education, he is an M.Tech from Indian Institute of Science, Bangalore in telecommunication, published one journal paper and three conference papers in IEEE as a part of M.Tech project. He worked in Honeywell Technology and Solutions R&D department for 3 years. And about the ashram, he joined as a brahmachari in ISKCON Chowpatty in the year of 2010. In the temple, serving in senior brahmachari caretaking department and also as a secretary to the temple management body. About his preaching experience, VJTI Engineering College, Bhakti Shastri classes, worldly youth programs are some of them where he practices his preaching. And in 2004, he first met devotees, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and he got his initiation in the year of 2014. So this was a very, very brief introduction about our today's speaker. Hare Krishna, Srikant Krishna Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving us your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without further ado, I would like to request you to please take over from here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Lakshmi. Hare Krishna, do we do Mangalacharan prayers before or after reading the purport?
It's your choice, Prabhuji, whichever way you'd like.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Anyone like to volunteer for reciting the Mangalacharan prayers?
Yeah, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Om Agnyanati Viradasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Namo Vishtam Namano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sujivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Larita Sri Vishakavitamsa He Krishna Garuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostate Sapta Kanchana Gauragi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataro Vyashta Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patidara Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Prabhu, you are unmuted.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. What is your name?
Balavrinda.
Okay. Balavrinda.
Balavrinda. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, we are reading the Canto 6, Chapter 18, Sloka number 42. Nahi kachit priyastri nam anjasa swasi satmanam patim putram brataram va gnanti arde gatayanti cha. No, not he, certainly, kachit, anyone, priya, dear, strinam, to women, anjasa, actually, swa, ashisha, for their own interest, atmanam, most dear, patim, husband, putram, son, brataram, brother, va, or, gnanti, they kill, arte, for their own interests. Gatayanti, cause to be killed. Cha also. The translation of this sloka is given as follows. To satisfy their own interests, women deal with men as if the men were most dear to them. But no one is actually dear to them. Women are supposed to be very saintly, but for their own interests, they can kill even their husbands, sons, or brothers, or cause them to be killed by others. We'll read the purport. Actually, Her Grace Shyama Gauri Mataji, she asked me to give class on 39 and 40 slokas. At that time, I saw the message a little late. Then I responded her. By that time, she has arranged another speaker. And I was happy that because when I read that purport, it appeared to be very little controversial topic. I was happy. Then she told me to give class on this particular verse. Then I realized that this is also same topic is continuing here in this also. Little very sensitive topic. Please forgive me if I speak something that hurts your sentiments. My intention is not to just presenting some few things that I have heard in the classes. We'll read the Srila Prabhupada's purport. Women are self-interested by nature and therefore they should be protected by all means. Manu's injunction regarding women, Srila Prabhupada mentions there. So to protect the women, so this is the Manu gave the injunction. In their younger age, they should be protected by the father. Later when they get married, they need to be protected by the husband. Once the husband takes to Vanaprastha Ashram and goes to the forest, during that period, she need to be protected by her son. So this is how women should be always protected. Of course, this protection, what exactly this protection? Because is it physical protection? May not be physical protection, because now we can see many women are working and they are maintaining the families. The husband may be staying at home taking care of the children, and women may be earning the earning through job, and she is protecting the family physically. So this is not exactly the physical protection that is what the spoken by the Shastras. Women must be cared for so that they will not be free to manifest their natural tendency for gross selfishness. There have been many cases, even in the present day, in which women have killed their husbands to take advantage of their insurance policies. They are there. Even I read in one particular news few years back in Andhra Pradesh, one woman, she had an affair with one of the men. And by mistake, the daughter, who is maybe 8 years or 9 years old, she came to home by playing outside her home. At that time, she accidentally observed her mother with this particular man. Then this woman was very much afraid, because this girl may reveal this secret to her actual husband. So herself and the paramour, both of them killed that child, and then they started portraying that differently. But the truth came to know for all others. So it doesn't mean that men doesn't do like that. There are so many cases where men also do the similarly. They kill their wives, or they kill the sisters. So both the cases are there. We can, in the future slides, we will see the even the crime rate, gender based crime rate. Which gender has the more rate of crime or adultery, that we will see. Such natural instincts of a woman or a man are manifested only in the bodily conception of life. So Prabhupada writes here nicely that it is not about a woman or a man, because we are the soul. Soul doesn't have any distinction as a woman or man. Soul sometimes takes shelter of the woman body, or soul sometimes takes shelter of the man's body. So they, in general, the conditioned soul has the tendency to do the, to lord over material nature. So sometime either in the woman body or man body or any other, even the animal body, as long as there is this bodily conception of life is there, these natural instincts, the self interest, for to fulfill the self interest, even killing the family members, all such things do manifest. Prabhupada again writes, when either a man or a woman is advanced in spiritual consciousness, the bodily conception of life practically vanishes. So this is the thing. When the man or woman, as long as they are in the bodily conception of life, then there is, they engage in certain activities, sinful activities for their own self-interest. But if they, by the mercy of association of devotees, if they advance in the spiritual consciousness, then such kind of natural instincts, they vanishes. We should see all women as spiritual units, aham brahmasmi, whose only duty is to satisfy Krishna. As we had discussed, there is nothing called woman's soul or man's soul. Soul is soul. Soul occupies the different bodies at different times. So the person, it is mentioned that a person who is too attached to his wife, and if he is not practiced bhakti, there is a great chance he will become the woman in the next life. He is a man in this life, but because of his attachment, there is a great chance he will become a woman in the next life. Similarly, a woman who is very much attached to the husband and not practiced any of the yoga systems, there is a great chance that she will become the man in the next life. So this woman, man, basically we are the spirit soul who is occupying the various bodies at various times. Then the influences of the different modes of material nature, which result from one's possessing a material body, will not act. So as soon as we identify with ourselves as the soul and advance in the Krishna consciousness, then the influence of the different modes of material nature, which result from one's possessing a material body, will not act. The Krishna consciousness movement is so beneficial that it can very easily counteract the contamination of material nature, which results from one's possessing a material body. So this advancement in the Krishna consciousness is so beneficial, it counteracts the contamination of having this. When we are in the body, one is in the under the influence of the material modes. But when one advances in Krishna consciousness, that counteracts the this contamination brought up by the modes. Prabhupada again writes, whether one is a man or a woman, one must know that he or she is not the body, but a spirit soul. Everyone should be interested in the activities of the spirit soul, not the body. As long as one is activated by the bodily conception of life, there is always the danger of being misled, whether one is a man or a woman. So, Prabhupada, although the previous in this purport, Prabhupada is nicely balancing. Although the translation mentions only the women by nature are self-interested and they can kill their husband, brother. That is how it is mentioned. But Srila Prabhupada in the purport is nicely balancing. Wherever there is a woman, Prabhupada just not mentioning as a woman, is repeatedly mentioning whether it is a man or woman, at least four times Prabhupada mentioned in this part, man or a woman, because this is the problem that both have, both of them have the, in this conditioned soul, conditioned life, no one want to serve others, everyone want to take service. So that leads to the exploitation. So exploitation is done by the both the people. The soul is sometimes described as Purusha, because whether one is dressed as a man or a woman, one is inclined to enjoy this material world. See, in this particular slide only, here in the first point Prabhupada mentioned man or a woman. In the third point Prabhupada mentioned as a man or a woman. In the fourth point also Prabhupada mentioned as a man or a woman. The soul is sometimes described as Purusha, because whether one is dressed as a man or a woman, one is inclined to enjoy this material world. That's why it is called Purusha. Body is called Puri. Our city is also called as Puri, Jagannath Puri, because that is the city. Similarly, the body is also called Puri. The Isha of the Puri means the one who is the controller of the body. Now I can decide, I want to lift my hand, I can lift it. So he is the controller of the body, that's why he is called Purusha. Both man is also considered as a Purusha because he has the body. Similarly, woman is also considered as Purusha because she has the body. But this Purusha is not actual Purusha. Actual Purusha is the Supreme Lord, the real enjoyer. This Purusha, they want to imitate the Supreme Lord, and they are trying to enjoy this material world. One who has this spirit of enjoyment is described as Purusha, whether one is a man or a woman. He is not interested in serving others. Everyone is interested in satisfying his or her own senses. So when they are interested to satisfy his or her own senses, that is called lust. when that lust is becomes obstacle, someone becomes a obstacle for that particular lust, that turns into krodha, because kama is not get fulfilled. When lust is not fulfilled, it becomes anger. If a man and a woman are married, and if the man or woman, any of them have a paramour, then what happens? One of them out of these three, one has to leave the body. Most of the crime news are like that only, because that is how the two of them want to enjoy their senses. If one, and one of them is becoming the obstacle, so they want to eliminate that person in that krodha. By losing their discrimination, they eliminate that person. But finally, they end up in some jail where their purpose is also not fulfilled. Krishna consciousness, however, provides first-class training for a man or a woman. A man should be trained to be a first-class devotee of Lord Krishna. And a woman should be trained to be a very chaste follower of her husband. That will make the lives of both of them happy. So this is how Srila Prabhupada, in a very balancing way, by repeatedly mentioning man or woman at least 5 or 6 times in this particular purport, he is mentioning this, whatever the problem mentioned in this particular translation, that is not just for the woman, it is both for the man and woman. Both are struggling, both need help, and where the help is there, Krishna consciousness is the help given to both of them. That is how they can become happy. So we can see we'll just go through the context, because it is, and I congratulate you that you are about to end the 6th canto. Consistently, you are able to read this Srimad Bhagavatam. I come once in a while. Whenever I come, at least 2-3 chapters are over. So very consistently, you are reading this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very much appreciable. We'll just go through the background. So in one day of Brahma, 14 manvantaras exist. Now we are in the 51st year, first day of Brahma. So Brahma's 50 years are already over. That is called Parardha. Now the second Parardha started. In the 51st year, the first day is the, now the, we are in the Brahma's 51st year, first day. So as we have discussed, in a Brahma's one day, 14 manvantaras exist. So now in this 51st year, first day of Brahma also, there are 14 manvantaras. Till now, 6 manvantaras have already passed. Now we are in the Vaivaswata manvantara, that is 7th manvantara. And the first manvantara is called Swayambhu manvantara. That is where Swayambhu Manu has taken birth. So it is named after him, Swayambhu manvantara. If you see Daksha Yajna pastime, when Daksha Prajapati, as a Brahmana, when he entered the Yajna, Lord Shiva did not get up because he was meditating on the Supreme Lord. He did not observe the Daksha entering. So then Daksha became offended. He is my son-in-law, why he is not getting up? He is junior to me. In that way, Daksha offended Lord Shiva. He cursed him. Then there is a fight between the Shiva, Lord Shiva's followers and Daksha followers, curses, counter curses. Finally, it led to the Veerabhadra chopping of the Daksha's head. Finally, when all the devatas went and surrendered to Brahmaji, Brahmaji along with the devatas, they went to Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva is pacified and Lord Shiva gave the goat head to Daksha. But although Daksha got the goat head, he was in so much moroseness and he left body the soon. Then he took again birth. in the second time, from whom Daksha has taken birth? Anyone remember? Okay, it happened long time back. So he has taken birth from the Prachetas. In the beginning of the sixth cant also it is mentioned. So the Prachina Barhishat sons are Prachetas. From Prachetas, Daksha has taken birth. This also happened in the seventh, first Manvantara only, Swayambhu Manvantara. Then Daksha went for tapasya. He was very much lamenting that he received the Kshatriya body. Previously he was a Brahmana. Due to the offense, now his body was degraded to Kshatriya. He went for tapasya and he did tapasya for 4.5 Manvantaras. Then at the beginning of 6th Manvantara, he came back. He retired from tapasya and he got married. He did the Hamsa Guhya prayers to the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord gave him the wife and he got married in the 6th Manvantara. Then we all read that story of Haryaswas and Savalaswas. Daksha gave birth to Haryaswas and all of them went to do tapasya before getting married. But Narada Muni meets them there and Narada Muni gives a allegorical story and convinces them to take to the path of renunciation. And all of them, they take to the renunciation. Then Daksha produced another set of sons, Savalaswas, and sent them also for doing tapasya. Then Narada Muni again meets them and tells that it is the duty of the younger brothers to follow the elder brothers and convinces them also to take to the path of renunciation. Then Daksha becomes very much upset. He curses Narada. And then he produces 60 daughters, thinking that Narada Muni will not touch the daughters. In that place, all this happened till the 6th canto, 6th chapter. So then Sukadeva Goswami, he started describing the descendants of the 60 daughters of Daksha. So he describes the descendants of the so many daughters. And one of the daughters is Aditi. So then he started describing the Aditi's sons also. Aditi had 12 sons. Vivaswan, Aryama, Pusa, Tvashta, Savita, Bhaga, Data, Vidata, Varuna, Mitra, Shetru, and Gurukrama. Then Sukadeva Goswami started describing the descendants of these sons. Vivaswan, Aryama, Pusa, and Tvashta. They are described in the 6th chapter through Chaya Devi. Vivaswan has this many children. Like similarly, Aryama has this many children. But Pusa did not have any children. Then Tvashta have children. Tvashta have Vishwarupa as the child. After mentioning that, then it is mentioned Vishwarupa was accepted by the Devatas as their priest when they were abandoned by Bruhaspati. This much Sukadeva Goswami mentions. The Tvashta son is Vishwarupa and the Devatas accepted Vishwarupa as their own guru, as their priest, because Bruhaspati is abandoned them. Then Parikshit Maharaj inquires, why Bruhaspati has rejected the Devatas? Then Sukadeva Goswami tells Indra was sitting in his assembly. At that time, Bruhaspati entered there, but Indra, he did not welcome his guru. Seeing that Bruhaspati left from that place, then Indra realizes his mistake. He repents for that. Because they lost the mercy of their guru, they lost Sattvaguna and the demons defeat them. Then they went and surrendered to Brahmadev. Brahmadev chastises them and tells them to accept Vishwarupa as their guru. Then Vishwarupa agrees and Vishwarupa teaches them Narayan Kavacha. Then Parikshit Maharaj inquires, can you tell me what is Narayan Kavacha? Then 8th chapter, Narayan Kavacha is described. Then Indra kills Vishwarupa because he is offering obeisances to the demons also. Because his mother side is from the demon side. Then Tvashta becomes angry, his father. and he does yajna and he produces Rudrasura to kill Indra. Then the whole story happens, the battle between Rudrasura and Indra, how Rudrasura by offering exalted prayers he gives up the body. Then Parikshit Maharaj inquires, generally demons are so much atheistic in nature, but how come this Rudrasura have so much love for the Lord? Then the whole story of Chitraketu is explained, how Chitraketu became the Rudrasura, who had cursed Chitraketu, and the Harsha Soka story was there between, and then by the mantra given by Narada Muni, Chitraketu becomes a Vidyadhara. Then who had cursed Chitraketu to become a demon? Anyone answers?
Parvati Devi.
Parvati Devi. Why she had cursed him?
He was commenting on Lord Shiva, telling he was making for sitting on his lap while talking of the.
Yes, Prabhuji, correct. Because he laughed at Lord Shiva, that is the reason she had cursed him. Then what was Chitraketu's response after hearing the curse?
He immediately accepted and he accepted and told mother what he said is correct, I accepted.
Yeah, correct. So he tells Jiva suffers because of past deeds, different position than the material world are same. All of them are temporary. Lord is the controller, like that. He accepts the curse. By seeing the Chitraketu response, Lord Shiva speaks about Chitraketu. Anyone remembered any point?
He was glorifying the devotees of the Lord.
Yeah, correct. He glorifies the devotees of the Lord, saying that a devotee is neutral in all conditions, whether it is Swarga, Naraka, or liberation. He doesn't, he treats all of them equally. Like that, Lord Shiva glorifies the devotees. So, in that way, it is a whole detour. If you see in the sixth canto, sixth chapter, the descendants of Daksha's 60 daughters are described. It is not all completed. So he is describing one by one, the daughters of the Daksha. But at the same time, in between came Aditi. So Aditi's four sons are described in the sixth chapter. Vivaswan, then Pusa, then Tvashta. Then Tvashta's descendants are they. Vishwarup. Then why Vishwarup became the guru of the devatas, then the whole Rudrasura story, then whole Chitraketu story. It is a complete detour from 6th canto, 6th chapter to 18th chapter. In the 18th chapter, again Sukadeva Goswami started describing the 5th son of Aditi, the descendant of 5th son of Aditi. Can you imagine? Almost 12 chapters have passed. Even if while we are discussing something, if someone asks a question in between, we answer that question, then we ask where we were, what we were discussing the topic. But here Sukadeva Goswami, although 12 chapters are passed and so many stories are described, where he had left in the 6th chapter, from there he is continuing. The four sons of descendants, the four Aditi sons were descendants were described in 6th chapter. From 5th son, he started continuing in the 18th chapter. Then after completing all the, describing the descendants of the sons of Aditi, then he continued to describe the Diti's descendants, who is also another daughter of Daksha. So while describing the Diti's descendants, he mentioned that there are 49 Maruts were born and they were accepted as the devatas. Then Parikshit Maharaj inquires, generally the Diti's sons are demonic in nature. How come they were accepted as the devatas? So to answer this, Sukadeva Goswami is replying, when Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were killed, Diti was so much upset And she wanted to have a son who can kill Indra. So that's why she satisfied her husband Kashyapa Muni so much. Then Kashyapa Muni, who was very much pleased with her service, Kashyapa Muni inquired her, can you please, you can take any boon. Then she mentioned that, I want a son who can kill Indra, because Indra is considered as the arms of the Virat Roop. He is considered as the arms of the Lord. So, and he, because he is the one who is administering the universe. Now we are, rainy season is happening in India. We are receiving the abundant rains. Who is behind that? Indra is the one who is sending the rains. So Kashyapa was lamenting, how can I kill Indra, who is doing so much service for the Lord? It becomes a sin. So in that lamentation, he started cursing his own wife, Diti. So he is criticizing, not exactly her, but he is criticizing the woman in general. That is what mentioned in the previous few verses, including this verse. So we can see here, in this particular verse, it is mentioned women are self-interested and they can kill their brother, husband, like that. And however, Srila Prabhupada nicely balanced in the purport, saying that it is both man and woman, both of them need help, both of them need Krishna consciousness. Then only they can save themselves from this selfish interest. So by reading some statements like this, one particular scholar mentioned Srila Prabhupada hates women. And some of the sages who are there in the Vedic society, they hate women, and Prabhupada likes those sages. So that is how it is presented. But actually, one senior brahmachari, he was expressing to us in one particular class, many of Srila Prabhupada's female disciples, they came to ISKCON Chowpatty. This senior brahmachari, he was discussing with them, and he inquired, how did Srila Prabhupada dealt with all of you in person? Did you feel any time any discrimination? So none of them mentioned that Prabhupada always treated us equally, and Prabhupada always made us feel protected, and he's like a fatherly figure to us. That was the response of all the Srila Prabhupada, many of the Srila Prabhupada female disciples who visited our temple. So then what is the view of Srila Prabhupada regarding the women? We can see Prabhupada at various places mentioning in the Krishna book, chapter 90, Srila Prabhupada mentions, as soon as soft-hearted people such as women hear those transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, they immediately become attracted to him. Soft-hearted women and girls are therefore very easily drawn to the Krishna consciousness movement. Practically, we can see this also nowadays. I conduct a few programs. In all those programs, means there is one youth program which is meant only for the unmarried boys. Other than that, all other programs that I take, 80% are women only. In India, 80% are attended by the women only. And most of the services in the temple are also rendered by the women, because the men are busy with their jobs. And most of the services, including the management, are done by the women. And Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam class 1743, because this is the situation where Ashwatthama, he don't want to leave any descendant of the Pandavas. he want to kill each and every descendant of Pandavas. He already killed the sons of Draupadi. Then only descendant that is there is the Abhimanyu already got killed in Kurukshetra. But Abhimanyu's son is there in the Uttara's womb. So Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra on Uttara's womb. The Uttara surrendered to the Supreme Lord and Supreme Lord protected her. Then Krishna and Arjuna, they capture Ashwatthama and they brought him to the camp of the Pandavas, where Krishna tells, kill this Brahma Bandhu. He is only Brahmana by birth, but don't have the Brahmana's qualities. At that time, Draupadi comes and objects. Draupadi says, don't kill him. So here we can read, women, they are very soft-hearted, Vamaswabhava. So although Ashwatthama killed her sons very mercilessly, and he was arrested and Krishna ordered him to be killed, and Arjuna was just preparing to punish him, but Vamaswabhava woman, being very soft-hearted, without any consideration, she immediately offered her respect, Nanama. So this is how it is mentioned here. And also in a letter to Indira Dasi, Srila Prabhupada mentions, I can understand that you have considerably advanced in Krishna consciousness because your heart is simple. Girls and women are generally very soft-hearted and they take things very easily. But then there is also chance of being misled. So you chant the holy name of Krishna and Krishna will keep you from being misled. So this is the one particular protection. Previously we were discussing the woman should be protected. The protection may not be from the physical protection, because many of the places women are CEOs and many they are leading in many of the fronts. But sometime because of their soft nature, some miscreant people may take advantage of that. They may take advantage of that because that is the their nature. It is not exactly the material intelligence that is discussed here. Sometime it is also mentioned that women are less intelligent. It is not actually the material intelligence, because we see many of the women, they are topping the universities, they are topping the many places, many of the exams, they are the top rankers. Similarly, it is not spiritual intelligence also, as we discussed, the soul is same. There is nothing called woman's soul or man's soul. But it is the interaction of that body and the soul, that what we wear, that also matters. Now the rainy season is there. If I wear plastic clothes, raincoat, then I don't get wet. But if I go with cotton clothes, I get wet. So what we wear also matters. Although the external dress only, both are covering the body, but what we wear also matters. Generally, the women are very, very soft-hearted. They are very kind, affectionate, and they are nourishing to the, give nourishment to the children. At the same time, that soft-hearted nature may be taken advantage by the some of the people who are, and they mislead them. This is the protection that need to be given, protection from not getting cheated. So another place Prabhupada mentions, the mother and sisters of Sati, this is the where Dakshayajna, after Dakshayajna happened, Daksha did not invite Lord Shiva. So, but still Sati want to go. Sati want to go and make sure that whether Lord Shiva is properly respected or not, whether they are giving oblations to Lord Shiva or not. For that reason, she went there. When she went there, her father did not come to welcome her. But the mother and the sisters, all of them came ahead. All of them came ahead and they welcomed her. It is mentioned in that particular purport. The mother and sisters of Sati could not follow the others. There are so many men there. They are all afraid. If we go and welcome Sati, then Daksha will become angry with us. So they thought about the consequences and they also remain neutral. But the mother and sisters of Sati, they couldn't follow the others who did not receive Sati very well. Due to natural affection, they immediately embraced her with tears in their eyes and with loving feelings. This shows that women as a class are very soft-hearted. Their natural affection and love cannot be checked by artificial means. So this is how it is described, because even recently there was one announcement is made during lockdown. One of the ISKCON sannyasi, he left the body. That announcement is made. Few of us are there, and side by some women are there. As soon as that announcement is there made, the men are they are sad, but they kept their emotions within themselves. But the women, who are few in number, who are their side only, then they are uncontrollably started crying as soon as they heard that news. So this is the soft-hearted nature of the woman. Now, this is the, we can see Srila Prabhupada, these are the few instances that I could collect, but there are many places where Srila Prabhupada glorified the wonderful qualities of the woman. But at the same time, there are some slokas which may be due to the context or due to some other reasons. There may be some places which appear like controversial, because there is one particular group of devotees. They were reading the Bhagavad Gita chapter 1. When they read this particular statement in the chapter 1, Prabhupada writes, quotes Chanakya Pandit and says that women are less intelligent. And they couldn't go ahead from there. They want, we need clarity on this. Then only we will go ahead. So, but if we read the whole Vedic literature and whole gamut of books that Srila Prabhupada has given, and if we read, so things are not black and white. So Prabhupada mentioned the both the things. So we need to see the, there is a gray portions are there. We should always don't go to the either extreme. And we see the, this is the, from Pratyaksha Praman. The Pratyaksha Praman, it is not based on the scripture, but I found some data from the internet, whether the, what exactly is the crime rate gender wise. The Pratyaksha Pramana has all the defects, as we know. But still, this is also has to be taken consideration. The statistics have been consistent in reporting that men commit more criminal acts than women. So there are this data is from the United States of America. There are those who are imprisoned in the state federal prison, men are 9 times more than the women. Around 5,81,000 women are imprisoned, but 50 lakh men were imprisoned in the state prisons. And there are so many statistics showing that 73% those who were arrested were males, are 98.9% forcible rape, 87% robbery, 85% burglary, 83% arson, 81% vandalism. In that way, 81% motorcycle theft. So many statistics are there which are showing that the criminal rate in men is more than the women. Similarly, this is also a Pratyaksha Praman. The adultery rate gender-wise, according to the general social survey, men are more like to cheat than women, with 20% of men and 13% of women reporting having sex with someone other than their partner while still married. So the adultery rate is also more in the men compared to women. So we need to see how to understand Srila Prabhupada's purpose. If you read the first canto of first chapter of Srim Bhagavad Gita, there Prabhupada mentions in 1.28, he glorifies Arjuna. Arjuna is not willing to fight in the war because he don't want his relatives to be killed. So Prabhupada mentions there, this is not due to weakness, but due to soft-heartedness. Prabhupada mentions Arjuna, glorifies Arjuna as a soft-hearted person. In the very next verse, Prabhupada criticizes Arjuna, saying that all these are due to material conceptions of life. So we need to understand situations are not black and white. We want to know whether Arjuna is good or bad. That is what we are inclined, because mind want to know clearly. Clearly tell us Arjuna is good or bad. But actually it is not, the life is not like that. Things are always grey. So Srila Prabhupada's aim is not to confuse us, but he is giving the various angles, is giving us the various angles. We need to learn from them. And also we need to understand as per the context. For example, here, the context is, we should not take things literally, whatever is given there. For example, in Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, Narada Muni tells, saying that this boy, you are a child. This is not the age to practice bhakti. So we can't take it as absolute statement. Oh, children are not supposed to do bhakti. That means, but we need to understand as per the context. The context there is, Narada Muni is testing Dhruva, his determination. Is he really interested to practice bhakti? Then only I will give him the mantra. And Dhruva passed successfully and Narada Muni gave him the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya mantra. So we need to understand as per context also. Also, in one of the sloka, in 14th chapter, pregnancy of third canto, 14th chapter, Kashyapa Muni tells, O queen of the home, we are not able to act like you, nor could we repay you for what you have done, even if we worked for our entire life or even after death. To repay you is not possible, even for those who are admirers of personal qualities. So this is the Kashyapa Muni tells to Diti at that time, in that particular context, where she pleases him. So he tells like this, there Prabhupada writes, so much glorification of a woman by her husband indicates that he is henpecked or he is talking lightly in joke. So we need to understand as per the context also. Similarly, here also the context is, he was upset with that Diti. And in this context, he is making some things. So we need to take that as per the context also. And also Prabhupada mentions some places in Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, second verse. Churches and mosques are now practically vacant. So Prabhupada mentions like how to understand such statements when we see the churches and temples, there are people, so many people are there. But principle is, they are not educational institutes anymore. So even the temples also, they are no longer educational institutes. People may be gathering, but together, but they are no longer, that is the meaning that we need to understand. But that is not the purpose of churches, not to gathering together. It is a educational institute where people learn about the God. So in that way, we need to understand as per the context. In this context, he was upset and he was speaking a few verses. And also Prabhupada always never keeps black and white. There is always gray areas. So Prabhupada, the Pratyaksha Pramana, we had seen that as per the Pratyaksha Pramana, crime rate and adultery rate are more in men. And Srila Prabhupada, he never hates women. Prabhupada gave, if we read all the Prabhupada teachings, Prabhupada balanced the both. Then also we had seen the personal experiences of Srila Prabhupada disciples, who also expressed they always felt protected in Prabhupada's presence. And we had seen the little bit the context how Sukadeva Goswami, although from sixth canto he described the four sons of Aditi, after 12 more chapters in the 18th chapter he started describing from the fifth son of Aditi, Bhaga, and there is a whole detour for the this particular pastime of Vrutrasura and Chitraketu Maharas. These are the few things we had seen. One devotee raised the hand.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I can wait until the end of the class. I mean, if it's
yeah, okay. Yeah, I am done.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class and so much efforts. You have compiled such a nice presentation. Prabhuji, I just wanted to know if it's possible for you to share the PPT. You have given wonderful references for the context in which Srila Prabhupada has spoken few things.
Yes, I will share with Shyama Gauri Mataji. She can share with you.
Sure, Prabhu. Once again, Prabhuji, thank you so much for the beautiful class. I just wanted to know if you can share. And yes, please do give your association time and again, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Sukhasagri Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And this is like, as you said in the beginning itself, it is a little controversial topic, but you handled it so wonderfully, and you gave proper references from Srila Prabhupada's various purports and also from his from experiences from his own disciples. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. And we also loved how you put the stats also together as to what the situation is right now. Prabhuji, if you have time, we have one more raised hand.
Okay, sure.
Hare Krishna, Jyoti Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, Hare Krishna and Dhanvat to you. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam to you. Prabhuji, my question is actually doesn't belong to the class, but I wanted to ask, what is single-pointed intelligence? And if you could tell me or refer to the books where I'll get some details about attentive chanting, I'll be eternally grateful to you for that also.
Okay, attentive chanting. Okay. Basically,
attentive chanting and what is single-pointed intelligence in bhakti?
Okay. One thing that comes to my mind is there is a Bhagavad Gita second chapter, Vyavasayatmaka Buddhi, Ekeha Purunandana, Bahusya Kahi Anantasya Buddhayor Avyavasayina. So that particular verse tells, actually that whole section is describing those who are in this path, they are resolute in determination. And but those who are not, they are actually, their intelligence is multi-branched. So then in the next few slokas, it is mentioned that those who want to go to the heavenly planets and want to do the sense gratification, etc. In 2.44, it is mentioned, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Thayapahruta Chetasam Yavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhavna Vidiyate. So those who are interested in the Bhoga and Aishwarya. Bhoga means material enjoyment. Aishwarya means material opulences. In those people, the Vyavasayatmika Buddhi doesn't arise. Means the single-pointed focus, it doesn't arise. Or the determination to practice bhakti, that doesn't come. So that is how Krishna is discouraging the Sakama Karma. Sakama Karma means they want to go to heavenly planets, they want to enjoy. Krishna is telling, but such kind of enjoyment is detrimental for the determination to practice bhakti. Bhoga and Aishwarya, these are the two obstacles for getting the single pointed intelligence. You can read those purports of 2.41, 42, 43, and 44. That is what one thing that comes into regarding that single point intelligence.
Okay, Prabhuji. And about the references where I can get more details about attentive chanting.
Okay. Attentive chanting. I invite audience also, please add in case if you remember any book or any classes which deal with this particular request of Mataji. One is a Japa book by Burijana Prabhuji.
Art of Chanting is the book.
By?
Art of Chanting is a book, Mahatma. That tells us to chant attentively.
Okay. Who is the other?
No, I know. Don't know other book.
Okay, okay. There is one book by His Grace Burijana Prabhuji. That is the title of the book is Japa, which has 9 keys, which actually many, I myself also, I heard the classes, but I did not go through that book personally, but I attended the many classes based on that book, and many of the people expressed that they got benefited from that. And also in the comment section, chat section, one devotee told Harinam Chintamani is one particular book. And also Art of Chanting, other is Mahanidhi Swami Maharaj, that is also mentioned here.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Eternally grateful to you, Danvat Pranam. Thank you for the session. I couldn't attend, but I'll listen the recordings again. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Abhishtha Shilapa. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. And very nicely you explain about the qualities of the one, how they are more spiritually inclined in compared to man. And Prabhuji, very nice recap of the previous cantos and the previous chapters we learned, and also this canto also very nicely you explain, and you connecting it all the pastimes together. Thank you so much. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Sri Shutanishad Mataji, please go ahead.
Jai Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful, excellent resources on Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, in reference to the Mataji, there are a couple other books on the attentive chanting that I might like to mention. It's called Sri Namamrita, The Nectar of the Holy Name. It's an excellent book. It has so many wonderful, verses on chanting and what it is and what's it about and how to become more fixed in chanting. And Chanting Hare Krishna, that's another one that's pretty wonderful, and it's pretty thorough. So those are just two besides the Art of Chanting, which you already mentioned. So Hari Bol, I hope those are helpful. Hare Krishna. Maybe I'll put them in a chat as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Sri Swapanishade Mataji, for giving those references.
So much, Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. If anyone has any other questions, please go ahead now. Otherwise, we can end the call. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you. This was such a wonderful.
Hare Krishna.
Nicely explained. Okay. We'll end the call here. Mancha Kalpata Rubhyascha
Kripal Kripaksha Kripasindhu Pevasa Titana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha
Jai
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 Jai Jai.
Radhe Radhe.
Prabhu ki.
Radhe Radhe.
Thank you.
Hare Ranga.
Hare Krishna.